Here's what you'll hear on the upcoming episode of the Just Get Hired podcast.
Does a college degree even matter? So let's talk about like the difference or the debate between a college degree or just getting real world job experience. From your perspective, do you think job seekers gain valuable skills through on the job experience, or, you know, what is your viewpoint on all of this?
Hi, everyone. This is Greg Brooks with Rocket Station.
You're listening to the Just Get Hired podcast.
You're listening to the Just Get Hired podcast. Make sure that you like the podcast and share it with all your friends. I can't wait to hear what you think.
All right, Just Get Hired podcast fam. I'm excited to have a new guest on this show. His name is Josh Roberts. Josh, welcome to the Just Get Hired podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So we're going to talk today about college degrees and generational workforces. I'm excited for this because I don't think we've ever had anyone on the show really dive into this. Are you excited to get started?
I am excited. Yes.
All right. Well, let's kick things off then. Tell the audience a little bit about you and what is USA Staffing Solutions. Give us an overview.
Sure. So I was born in Louisiana. I have four brothers who I'm very close with. I traveled a lot growing up, so I was constantly forced to kind of adapt to new cities and meet new friends. And I think that played a huge impact on who I am today. I've lived in Pittsburgh now for the last 12 years. I'm married for the last 7 years. I have a daughter. Her name is Quinn. Well, professionally, I came from kind of the construction world. I started my first company, say I've been a kind of a lifelong entrepreneur, but I started my first real company in 2012. And for about 7 years, I grew those companies from zero to over 100 million in lifelong revenues. So it was kind of a roller coaster of a journey. It was kind of a wild and crazy time in my life as well. I exited all but one of those companies in 2020, but it wasn't really the exit that I dreamed about.
Okay.
It wasn't like a PE exit where a private equity exit where I sold all my companies, you know, and I rode off into the sunset with like a bucket full of cash. It was actually the exact opposite. I kind of watched my companies kind of slip away from me.
Okay.
And I nearly lost everything. It's kind of, you know, one of the lowest points in my life, which I'll kind of save that story for another time. But the important thing is it took me hitting rock bottom to realize that there was this missing piece in my life. A little bit of a testimony, but it took me kind of finding my faith to realize that I didn't have, you know, I didn't have to fight all these battles alone anymore. And that was like the supernatural in my world is a supernatural cheat code that I wasn't really tapping into. So shortly after that, I started USA Staffing Solutions. It's kind of a sister company of USA Field Services, which I started in 2017.
Okay.
I brought a few key employees from me from my previous business. As I like to say, I made Jesus my CEO and I hit the ground running kind of right in the middle of the pandemic.
Okay. Wow.
But what's funny is I knew nothing about staffing. You know, I think we talked about this before. I mean nothing. We didn't know what markups to charge. We didn't know what fees to charge. We didn't really know how to go about finding new business, but we had hustle and we had grit and we kind of just started to figure it out. It also didn't hurt that everyone needed help finding people, you know, in 2020 and 2021. Mm-hmm. So kind of in retrospect, I think the lack of experience was kind of what made us unique. We got to kind of make our own rules, which was fun. We invested heavily in technology and we started to grow and we started to kind of make what we wanted to accomplish, which was to have a positive and meaningful impact in the staffing world. And I like to say, although we invested in technology, we did it to make our lives easier and to give us kind of more time to do what we do best. And that's to have a positive and meaningful impact on people's lives. I also throw in that with a hint of faith and entrepreneurship. Also say it's given technology a heartbeat. It's kind of what we do. And when people ask me what I do for a living, I say I'm in the people business and I love being in the people business. So kind of fast forward to today, we're one of the fastest growing companies in Pittsburgh and we're doing business in 18 states.
Oh, awesome. Congratulations for that. That That's an amazing comeback story, but it sounds like it's been pretty successful. Everybody is searching for talent these days. Yeah, the people business is definitely the place to be, because if someone can solve for that and how we find people and then just fill all of these open roles, then you would be a gajillionaire.
It's so true. And it's only, it's only going to become more. There's just more opportunities out there, and it's only going to continue. I think it's kind of a great kind of transition into, this whole generational discussion and what those opportunities look like. So,
well, before we get into the generational change, is it go Tigers? Because I'm an LSU fan. Since you're from Louisiana.
Yes, I am Louisiana. I almost went to LSU. Unfortunately, but as I traveled around a lot growing up, I ended up in Kansas City for a big portion of my kind of life through seventh grade through high school. And then I went to college at the University of Missouri. So I am a Tiger fan. I'm just a Missouri Tiger fan, and then an LSU Tiger fan.
So we're talking about generational changes in the workforce. We're going to talk about college degrees and do they matter? Let's just talk about generational change. There's a lot of different generations that are currently in the workforce today, and they all view career opportunities, I think, a little bit differently. So how do you see these generational perspectives shaping the workforce as it is today?
So what's fun about this topic is, like I said before, this is not something that I've been in for my entire career. So it's new, it's exciting. And I love learning about this. It's part of some of the things I had to figure out. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously through my previous companies and just through leadership I did, but now I'm doing it as a career to help other people. And so it's even more important. It's just label the generations, right? We have the baby boomers. Mm-hmm. That's kind of your, these are your, for example, my dad, he started with his company at 16 and he retired with the same company, when he was 16. I mean, that's kind of your baby boomer generation. They prize job security, mm-hmm. and stability. They make up about 25% of the workforce. And I use this terminology, I think, in the staffing world. It's also the one that we have the silver tsunami coming, right? Yeah. And what that means is that's 75 million baby boomers will retire between now and 2030. Wow. So if you want to talk about an opportunity for people, for both staffing people and HR and just people looking for, there's a huge amount of these positions. And a lot of these baby boomers hold, high level positions, that they've held for a long time. And so we have to transfer some of that knowledge, but also replace those positions. Mm-hmm. The next is the Gen Xers. That's kind of I think the Gen Xers value, I fall into a kind of Gen X and millennial. So a little bit of both is, mm-hmm. I like to have the freedom to jump in between both. but this is they value independence, balance. This kind of, I think latchkey kids is how they're mm-hmm. coined. So this is whenever, both parents started going into the workforce. So this is mom went into the workforce and we left the kids at home just to fend for themselves, right? That's kind of the generation.
That was me.
That was me as well, So it was we just figured it out, right? And I love that about that experience. The next is the millennials. I think the millennials are, it's very stereotyped to just blanket everybody under these categories. Right. Obviously it's a mix of a little mix of everything, but millennials typically, they value career path. That's something as an employer, I always focus on with millennials is making sure there is a clear career path or else they're going to go find somebody else that gives it to them.
Right.
They also kind of sit on the fence of technology. So a little bit, they have some experience before the technology revolution or boom, and also some on the back end. So it's a little bit of a split, and they make up about 35% of the workforce. You have Gen Zs. This is kind of the flexibility generation. They value feedback, diversity, inclusion. This is about 5% of the workforce, and I think it's interesting. So I was doing more research on this. They also make up, there's about 3 million fewer millennials, not in the workforce, but millennials in general, mm-hmm. Gen Zs than there are millennials.
Okay.
And even less in Xers. So what's happening is you have this massive this massive tsunami that's happened on the front end, right? And then you have less generational people on the bottom end. And also people are having less babies, you know, so they're not, it's not getting replenished. So it's this combination of everything that really is, it's going to cause a little bit of chaos, but I think with chaos, there's opportunity. So it's just something to think about.
Any fun and interesting antidotes to think about from your experience about bringing these workforces together and how they can collaborate more effectively?
I think how they can collaborate collectively, the traditional, I want to say the traditional, I don't know, instrument has been mentorship, right? So, but you're, you know, let's bring the younger people, let's pair them with the mentor and let's have the mentor teach them everything they can about their job, right? And that's kind of where it ended. And I think now it there should be a focus, and I think there has been a little bit of more of a two-way mentoring, especially with technology, right? So you have the older generations that are mentoring on certain things that they've been able to gain through experience. And now you have the younger, this is the two, and now the younger generations are teaching the older generations how to use technology, right? Because all the companies want to implement the newest technology. We want to use Slack. We want to use, you know, all of our ATSs and everything else. And the older generation who are very, you know, maybe have more relationship-based experiences now have to do a little bit of that. So there's two-way. And then I think there's just reverse mentoring, where even if it's not two-way, sometimes I think we need the younger generation to be the mentor, you know, of the older generation. So I think one funny story that comes to mind is shortly after I started USA Staffing, I had a mentor of mine who had a staffing company who he had it for 25 years. It was just kind of barely getting along, like kind of making a little bit, losing a little bit, and said, Josh, I think this would be a good fit for you. And at the time it was like, I wasn't really ready for it. I was like, I had enough chaos that just happened. I was kind of like, no, but I'll look at it anyway. And I did. And I'm thankful I did. But anyway, I made the acquisition, and part of this acquisition came with the president of the company and the assistant of the company. And then they had a couple really good customer relationships that came along with it. And I remember when we combined offices, and we were pretty close, like, you know, we were in the same business park. They were, the first thing I noticed was where they were printing out emails. An email, just print it out, and then walk that email over to the other person, write the notes on the email, and then take that email back. And then they would collectively get together. This is how we're going to, and then send that email off, you know, and that was their, that was technology, you know. And Rich, if you're listening to this, sorry, you know, for calling you out there, but that was it, you know. But he was one of the, I mean, from a relationship perspective, he had hired every single person that had been through that customer's doors in the last 25 years. And he was incredible at that. But there was just this technology difference, which was a huge opportunity for us because we got to put technology on top of that and not only made things more efficient, made things faster, but we also were able to service our customer better too. So yeah, I think it's an interesting
story. Dynamic, for sure.
This is just me trying to notice things in the world, right? Is emails. I think emails they're like a dying breed.
Yeah.
I don't know how much longer we're going to be dealing with emails and how the younger generations are just not going to use it. I don't think. I know for my wife, for example, she's a millennial and her email is a black hole. I mean, I don't think she would be, you know, she would tell you that to the point where, you know, if we get stuff from school, if we get stuff from anywhere, if it goes to email, it's like either send it to me, my email, because I keep track of my email, or you're going to have to text, right? Or call, or or pretty much you might as well just not send it at all.
Right.
She even went as far as to set up a permanent away message on her email. So not just like a vacation message, but like permanent away message. Here's how you reach me if you want to get in contact with me and it's not via email. So it's just funny.
So I'm kind of the same on that. My email is a black hole and I just don't know how to come out of it anymore. But on my personal, of course, my work email, I do glance at it. It's still out of hand. But my personal side, I've created different email accounts and I am mindful of who I give which ones to. And then I always tell like certain people, if you need me to read it, text me first and then I'll go check my email. So
isn't that crazy? I mean, it is like text me and then I'll check my email. I'm in the same. If I could just delete my email and be done with it, that would be amazing. You know?
Right. Well, it's also surprising that a lot of the companies that I also support, you know, these are founder-led organizations who really didn't have a lot of technology before the private equity firm came in and acquired them. And so a lot of them are working off spreadsheets and manual, like manual files, and still taking like paper applications. So, you know, how surprising is it? We're 2023, 2024, and we're still trying to teach some of these people who've had their companies for the last 25, 30 years to come up to today's modern age and use that. And then on top of that, start talking to them about all of the AI tools that are available. So that's another topic for a different day, but it's still surprising just the generational gaps that still exist and how we are still trying to get people to understand technology. Absolutely. So I want to pivot to the value of a college degree, because you and I were talking about this before, and I keep hearing more and more of even my friends who have kids that are in high school that they don't even want their children to get a degree. And for you and I, and you said this earlier, like a degree was a rite of passage. It was something you had to do. Like if you didn't go to college, like you're not going to have a career. You're not going to do well in life. And so it was like instilled in us by our parents that, you know, you graduate high school, you immediately go into college, you work for 4 years, get your degree, then you go find a quote unquote real job.
Real job, yeah.
But now I'm finding that talking to a lot of candidates, does a college degree even matter? So to me, is it worthless? Is it worth it? So let's talk about like the difference or the debate between a college degree or just getting real world job experience. From your perspective, do you think job seekers gain valuable skills through on the job experience, or, you know, what is your viewpoint on all of this?
It's a fascinating topic, and it's a topic that is being had every single day right now. Mm-hmm. In all the groups that I'm in, if you just like mention this, especially with either parents or kids that are, you know, in high school or college age, like trying to figure the answer out. Mm-hmm. I was just talking to somebody this morning about it, and they're going to visit different schools and they're trying to figure out what it is. I think it really depends on the person. It depends on what they're passionate about, what they value. So let's just talk about the job market. And when we're thinking about this decision, it's not just going to affect us right now or in the next couple years. It's going to affect our, potentially, you know, the rest of our life. But right now there's 9.6 million open positions and only 6.4 million unemployed workers. Mm-hmm. So, you know, who's in control really, right? I think the candidates are still somewhat in control. There are more open positions than there are people. Mm-hmm. But since 2000, up until 2020, the unemployment was always higher than job openings. So this hasn't always been the case. You know, what caused that? You know, it was early retirements, the pandemic, lack of access to childcare, new businesses being started in record numbers, all those things. But I think it also is a tale of two job markets.
Okay, and, true.
I think you know this too, like white collar workers right now lack opportunities, while blue collar workers have a lot of options. So if you're trying to decide which one of these job markets am I going to go into right now, I mean, it's pretty clear. And traditional degrees are in less demand. Mm-hmm. There's also high interest rates right now for student loans, so that's not helping the cause. And the technical jobs are the ones that have the most openings. You know, there just aren't that many professional job mm-hmm. openings. So, I also think I was trying to figure out the answer to this question as I was thinking about it. You know, once you do, you know, with the college degree, how with resumes, at what point do you stop looking at the college degree? How many years after, you know, is it 4 years? And then at that point, you're focused more on the job experience than you are the degree. And what impact does that have versus somebody that doesn't go to college degree or goes to a technical school? Now the experience is double. Right. Mm-hmm. Where at that point, you're not even really as focused on what the degree is in. I don't know necessarily the answer to that. But what are some other, I think, current stats that stood out to me is 40% of people graduating right now secure full time employment related to their degree. So super low. Right. So even mm-hmm. if you are going to that route, you're getting this half the people aren't even going into jobs that their degree relates to. I also think AI is going to replace a lot of technical jobs.
Okay.
So that's another thing to throw into the mix. So I also think, I don't know, Jess, what do you think? I mean, there's also this like social skills and self-discipline that happens whenever you go off to college, right? That I think is important. And I'm not really sure, you know, you have to learn how to live on your own. You have to, you know, this whole college experience is more than just, you know, showing up class. But I don't know that college experience is the only way to develop those traits.
No, I agree. I think, you know, that's kind of why your parents wanted you to go to college, because you needed that socialization and how to learn how to grow up and be on your own. But I think the generation today that doesn't go to college, they go straight into the workforce and they have to learn these skills on their own to survive. Yeah. Right. So, they're the ones that are probably making more than their peers who are currently in school right now, trying to work on getting their degree because they already have that real world experience. So I think, like, you're right, it depends on the person. But it also depends on where you are in your life stage. You know, sometimes people don't have the opportunity to go to college, so they have to go to work, right? And I think there's a lot of value for a college degree, but I think a lot of people don't talk about the fact that you don't have to go to college in order to make a good living. I mean, you're in the field service industry. Like, there are so many six-figure paying jobs that people don't even like really talk about, because they think you have to go work on Wall Street or work for corporate America if you want to make a six-figure salary. So let's talk about some of those careers. What are some of the industries and positions that you see where people can come in, learn a little bit on the job, and make pretty decent livings?
Some of these are crazy. I mean, some of them are crazy numbers. Like in the field services, I mean, more than half our people are making over 200. A lot of them are making over $300,000 a year without a degree. It's unbelievable, the opportunities. But like I said, career goals are important. You know, industry demand, you got to pay attention to that. So you don't go get a degree that there's no demand for, right? But there is for the ones that do have demand. You know, it's time and financial investment, as you said. Your learning style, career advancement, all those things I think are important. Can't pinpoint this, but I think depending on the schools and even high schools, some of the stuff is being taught earlier, maybe, but maybe it's just some of the people I'm running into, met a really, really talented high school kid who interned with me over the summer. And then she was going off to school. Mm-hmm. I was thinking to myself, if you just went right into the workforce right now, you would learn more in 6 months at my company than you would at 4 years of college. It's just like, I think there's opportunities there, but there's still a little bit of this, you know, I need to go to college and I need to, and I need to get a degree.
That too. I don't think people think about like the trade schools or the technical schools. They think like, I have to go to a 4 year college, or I need to go to like a junior college or a state college first and then kind of figure things out. But the role of technical schools, I think, it is really overlooked about the different career choices that people make. So are there anything that maybe individuals should consider when deciding between college and trade schools, or maybe on the job experience?
The other really cool thing right now is, unlike, you know, like we talked about, it was a rite of passage for us. It's not the case anymore. And it's not that no one is looking down on anyone anymore if they're going to, they're also like a little bit jealous. Like, I wish I was doing that and making $100,000 a year and going into HVAC or whatever. I think those types of the HVAC right now, if I had 100 people line up outside my door with an HVAC background and degree, I could place every one of them. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's the type of, I mean, those things are just in high demand, and the employers I'm talking to will pay them whatever they ask, you know? I think some of the other ones, construction management.
Oh, definitely.
It's huge. Even marketing. You don't have to go to college to learn about marketing.
You can use that. Go to YouTube and learn some courses these days.
Yeah. I mean, this is something you're brilliant at with your marketing. And I'm guessing, I don't know, maybe you went to marketing, you know, had a marketing background, but that's something you taught yourself, right? And so you find somebody that focuses on that or self-teaches themselves that, they can, I mean, there's a huge opportunity there. A lot of the skilled trades.
Skilled trades is such a hard market. You were talking about staffing for HVAC technicians. Some of the companies I support are very like customer like focused and customer facing, that everyone right now wants remote jobs. Right. I think the pandemic, it spoiled a lot of people who are like, I just want to stay home. But Who is delivering your food whenever you order on Uber Eats or DoorDash? Who is delivering your food when you go to the grocery store? Who actually has to put that stuff in a package so that it can go out? Like, these are some of the things that people don't think about. They just think, oh, I just use my app, I order it, and bam, it gets there. But someone has to make the food, or, you know, make the product and deliver it to you so that you can have it. So while you're working your remote job, there's not a lot of people who have the liberty to work remotely. And right. So I think people just don't realize that. And I have so many like HVAC openings too. Full service technicians, like field service engineers. And these are like really good paying jobs.
But, it, you know, X anything technician, right? Like they're in huge jobs. And I think what's got to happen, right? The positions are going to continue. And it's not like these things are going away, or that technology is going to replace all of these. So at some point, and it's happening already, we see it in the manufacturing world. What's happening every quarter, all the companies are trying to figure out how much more do they have to raise their bottom rates to be competitive, right? And it's just going to keep going up. It's just going to keep going up because they have to find a way to attract people to come fill those positions, because they can't just go unfilled.
Right.
So it just, unfortunately, in some of those larger, more traditional markets, it just moves slower than it should. I know when you're trying to, and you've probably experienced it, when you're trying to advise some of our customers in these markets, how much of an impact, if they could just find a way to increase some of those rates, they would blow everyone else out of the water.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. Well, I don't think we've solved for degree or not degree, but I'm also thinking that we've also shown our audience that you don't necessarily have to have a degree to be successful, and work is viewed in different ways by different generations. So any last thoughts or anything you want to share with the audience before we wrap things up?
I think the last thing I would like to share is more a little bit of my kind of philosophy. And, you know, I said I started my company. I also set it up on the values of PRAISE, it's an acronym. So it stands for professionalism, respect, accountability, impact, service, and empathy. Okay. I won't go into what each one of those means. I think they kind of they self-define themselves. But what I think is important whenever we're looking for jobs, whenever we're trying to define college, whenever we're trying to into trade school, I think that half the battle is the skill and the experience, and the other half is really this value-based system. And I think matching yourself with employers, and employers matching themselves with candidates that fit their values. So I don't, you know, our values aren't the same values as every other customer, but as a company, we try to learn our customers' values. And that's just as important as when they're asking us how many years of experience and what are the skills, like, what are your values? Because if you put the wrong person, meaning doesn't have your values, into the right seat, means fits all your skills and requirements, it's going to be a disaster, you know? So it's half the battle. I think that that's just kind of my philosophy, and I think it's just as important as the experience and the skills to match the values and the purpose of the companies.
Well, I forgot to ask you about PRAISE, so I'm glad you brought that up, and I'm going to make sure we kind of put that out there in the show notes, because I think it does speak to this conversation as well. Josh, I want to thank you for sharing your valuable insights and experience. I feel like it's been a really fun and enlightening conversation on this ever-evolving workforce discussion and just education in general. But I can't wait to see what's ahead for you and USA Staffing. And I want to say thank you so much for being a part of the Just Get Hired podcast.
Thank you for having me, Jess. It's been incredible. And I'm deep diving into all your podcasts right now. So it's pretty cool. I was just looking at the last one, the Power of Channel Partnerships. And I was like, I'm into that. So awesome. Great job on everything you're doing. Thank you for having me.